Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Chasing Sunsets. We're back with the Chasing Sunsets on Uncanny Valley, Grimm's Uncanny Valley. And let's go ahead and get this one started. European Route 49, Austria, EU. A luxury car's throaty roar breaks the forest calm as sun sets. An attractive middle-aged woman puts the high-end sports car through its paces. Phone chime. Ugh, of course you would call now. The woman answers the call with more than a hint of annoyance. I wasn't expecting your call until tomorrow, Andrew. Serena, where are you right now? Calm down, dear. I left Miami yesterday just like you told me to. Listen to me, Serena. This is important. Of course I'm listening. Look, I know you sold me out to those ledger reporters. They have our fucking text messages. Don't be ridiculous, darling. I'd never... Shut up. I'm not calling to point fingers. I'm calling to warn you. I'm perfectly fine. I'm in Mexico, since you asked, and nobody knows I left. Fuck, Serena. You crossed the wrong people this time, and there's nothing I can do for you. You're not making any sense, Andrew, but I can tell you're really upset. Pour yourself a drink and relax. I'm off the grid and you'll never see me again. There's a protracted silence before the judge speaks again. I know, and in spite of everything, I would have protected you if I could have. Don't worry about me, Andrew. No more lies, no more secrets. I'm free! You will see someday this was for the best. Goodbye, Serena. I'll always love you. I know. The woman hangs up and sighs loudly. Sounded like an important phone call. A long overdue one, perhaps. But let's not dwell on that. We'll be at the chalet soon. Or the chalet soon, whatever. Sounds posh. It's quite rustic, actually, but the lack of distractions has its upsides. Serena looks at her passenger suggestively. Think you can handle me? I've cleared everything off my calendar today to do precisely that. Oh my, keep talking like that, we won't make it to the chalet. Serena glances at her passenger expectantly. The blood drains from her face when she sees his icy expression. You read my mind. The sounds of distant sirens greets the column of oily smoke rising into the air. It's done. I'll fly back tonight and figure out how to deal with those reporters. Change of plans. I hope you pack some shorts and Tommy Bermuda shorts. Tunnelu? Yeah, time to nip this in the bud. Okay, the chapter summary. Trust? Mallory considers you an ally. Love? Mallory wants you in her life as a friend or lover. Jay trusts you implicitly, even when you disagree. Her intense love for you is rekindled as brother or lover. Chapter 6. We're getting close to the end of this. I mean, and I don't mean the end of the game. I mean all they have right now. Roxbury Arms Apartments, Boston, Massachusetts, 3 years ago. 23 Dorchester Avenue. This is the place. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but this wasn't it. Apartment 701. Sarah knocks on the peeling door earnestly. Chris, this is Sarah from Polygene. I've heard you've been sick, so I wanted to check up on you. She pauses and listens for any signs of life from within. If you aren't comfortable talking to Annette, my door is always open. Lisa's too. Shut the fuck up, lady. Score your meth somewhere else. Some of us are trying to sleep here. Fuck, why'd it have to be her? Excuse me. There's a company apartment on Fayette Street. I'm sliding the details under the door. It's free if you need a place to stay for a while. No questions asked. We'd just like to know you're safe. Call that number if you need anything at all. Shit, if I'm on a radar, I've been made. There is no going back. No questions asked, though. Maybe I could stay for just a few days. He sighs heavily as Sarah's footsteps fade down the tenement hallway. An agitated note creeping into his uncle's voice snaps Christian back to the present. This case has bigger problems now, possibly of the criminal variety. Criminal as it pertains to a civil lawsuit? Things are getting real complicated and Ground Zero is that shitty little island. That's why Vince is there. He's an observer acting on behalf of Prizer's interests. But why? The kids are just running errands for Worthwind and the campus is a ghost town. The only one who seems to think things are getting complicated is the client. Sebastian looks uncomfortable and changes the subject. Let's all just stay in our lanes. Continue to babysit Polygene and document activity. Now, if there are no more questions, kindly give my nephew and I the room. Sebastian reviews some papers on his desk as the other two men grudgingly depart. How's case prep coming, Chris? How do you think? You set me up to fail. Instead of rebuking Christian, the older man just looks apprehensive. I'm beginning to think we all were... What's got your hackles up? Law isn't called the second oldest profession for nothing. Tell me, Chris, what's your take on Vince? Reminds me of Dad, same monster inside, but with more self-control. Indeed, I believe Prizer is playing a side game and I don't like it. The reporters who broke the story on our judge's text reached out to us for comment. That's what they're paid to do, just like we're paid to say, no comment. Judge Bear's ex-wife leaked them and she turned up dead the next day. And you think this guy had something to do with it? He was there the day we briefed Roger on the leak, and she died the following day. So you think he's here to pull the same tricks with the lawsuit? At first I did, yes, but our client seems far more distracted by someone else at the moment. Tell me about this new gal you saw the Campbell boy with. Seen her somewhere before, she doesn't carry herself like a scientist or lawyer, though. She's a journalist, and Roger asked me to misplace any discovery with her name on it. I don't understand how she could be relevant to discovery on this case at all. She features heavily in the files of Dr. Campbell's research partner, conveniently also deceased. Devin Chapman, wasn't your first case for Prizer defending allegations he dabbled in eugenics? Yes, a victory that rings hollow now that I learned this girl may be a genetic copy of the late Dr. Campbell. Now you see, a pregnia recall could cost billions, but unsanctioned research could end the company. Shit, so what's our play? For now we play dumb and hope opposing counsel doesn't notice a few missing files. But we'll need help, but we'll need to be ready to drop Prizer like a bad habit if this goes pear-shaped. Seb, how did it happen? How did what happen, son? How did Judge Bear's ex-wife die? Car accident, I think. You just focus on case prep. I'll forward those files to your burner account. Call me if Vince goes off the reservation. The screen goes black, leaving Christian with more questions than answers. Fuck. Lost in thought, Christian doesn't notice one of his problems sitting quietly in the lobby. A wise man once said, sometimes the best decisions are the ones that are made for you. Cool story, bro. Maybe I'll get it framed. You didn't like me from the get-go, which has me wondering how we got off on the wrong foot. Maybe that's just how I feel about everyone. Maybe. Hey, you worked for Miss Campbell before she died, am I right? You know why I was there. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to catch the ass end of happy hour. If memory serves, you weren't compromised at Polygene. You quit. Why is that, I wonder? If I didn't know better, I'd say you developed a soft spot for your mark. Nah, that'd be as stupid as running the same playbook on two consecutive hits. The barest hint of a smile betrays Vince's delight. So we do understand each other. That's good. Run along now while I think about how this is going to feel. What? Winning the Try Hard Taurus Shit Award? Killing the same woman twice. The Nesbitt Beach House, Tonaloo Beach. You slowly awaken to a sensation that makes you wonder if you're still dreaming. Well, good morning, you... Late morning, I've already showered and had breakfast. Now up and at 'em. In my defense, I didn't get much sleep last night. Mallory returns to servicing you for a moment before responding. Tell me about it. Your freakish stamina has terrifying implications for my hips. This morning feels like leg day at the gym. That sounds suspiciously like a complaint. Oh God, no. Last night was, well, let's just say you've left a journalist at a loss for words. Mallory licks you playfully, clearly enjoying your body's involuntary reaction to her efforts. I'm going to have to train for marathons like that. My girl parts declared a state of emergency. Want me to kiss it and make it better? Oh, well... Mallory stammers a little and looks away self-consciously. Well, you did offer at the beach, and you know me, I'm like a dog with a bone. Literally, at the moment. I was mostly joking, but since you're right here, it does sound soothing, and I really don't want last night to end. But I also heard that George and Lisa want to talk to you, and I don't want to be selfish. I think I've earned a little wiggle room with George and Lisa. They can wait a bit. So I should... Sensing her uncertainty, you place your hand on her thigh invitingly, drawing her to you. Honestly, we should have started with this last night. Oh, shut it, Captain Hindsight. I wouldn't change a thing. As she settles into position, you find yourself fascinated with her perfect ass. Maybe Captain Hindsight should try sailing the HMS Mallory to the new world. You begin by blowing cool air slowly across her labia before focusing on her clit. Gasp. You feel her entire body quiver, and a tiny drop of nectar forms at her entrance in response. That is a good touch. Mimicking your technique, Mallory responds by bringing her lips to your glands and blowing softly. Damn, she's a quick learner. Hey, no using my tricks against me. Delighted by your reaction, Mallory begins to look around your tip as she wiggles her butt invitingly. There's something about the way you taste, Grim. I can't get enough of it. You respond by pushing back the hood of her clit with your tongue and bathing her nub in warm breath. You enjoy a moment of satisfaction as Mallory stiffens against you and her legs begin to tremble. Four! You were right! We absolutely should have started with this last night! Suddenly, you feel your length nearly engulfed in the warmth of her mouth and throat. Oh, wow! Not to be outdone, you flick your tongue inside her, making an effort to tease her clit periodically. She's outright dripping into my mouth. She's gotta be getting close. A growing, persistent tingle warns you that she's not the only one approaching her limit. Feeling a warning twitch in her mouth, Mallory begins edging you, experimenting with your threshold. The steady flow of her heady, sweet lubrication across your tongue is surprisingly arousing. Instinctively, she presses herself into you, grinding her mound against your face with rising urgency. Patience, Mal. You may be on the bus, but I'm still driving. You make your point by returning to gentle licks around her entrance and leaving her clit unattended. It's a plaintive, anguished whimper of raw need you ignore momentarily in favor of experience. Lewd sounds fill the room as Mallory's frustrated but enthusiastic mouth works its magic. Soon you feel your own control slipping and it's time to push her over the top. Time for the fireworks, babe. At last, your tongue begins to flutter unrelentingly across her clit and in her labia. Oh my God! Oh my God! Her body stiffens and her pussy almost seems to grasp at your tongue as her orgasm is unleashed. In answer, your own crashes through your body and down the length of your cock like an avalanche. There are no warnings, no courtesies. You are both paralyzed in a torrent of pleasure and lust. Belatedly, you panic about her reaction, but she simply clamps down on you determinedly and swallows. When the tide finally retreats, she snuggles up next to you, humming happily to herself. Well, that was mind-blowing. That's one way to describe it. If you suggest any variation of cunning linguistics, I will cut you.
Nope.
But we should definitely keep doing it until we can describe it appropriately. Mallory closes her eyes and squeezes you in a sort of offset hug, sighing contentedly. Grim, what does this mean? I mean, for us? I wasn't looking to put any labels on it. No, I get that. I just know a guy like you isn't going to settle down or be a one-woman guy. I just, you know what? Let's just forget I asked. Well, I like the way things... I like where things are going. Maybe we just take it day by day? Mallory looks at you thoughtfully for a long moment before responding. That seems like a good plan. Sometimes big things have small beginnings. That easy, huh? Got any hot dates lined up? You're literally the only guy within 5,000 miles I'm even slightly interested in. I'm not exactly a date magnet. But you're all right with it if I am? There's gotta be a catch. I'm not so stupid as to think you'd drop everything for me. Also, Amanda seems to have taken a liking to you. Wait, are you suggesting... Pump the brakes, Double Tap. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't think everyone in my circle would be so open-minded. Probably not, but sneaking and hiding never ends well either. Ugh. I figured you'd be happier. It's just something Lisa said. I forgot about her. Jesus, Grim, how many ladies do you keep in your stable? No, it's not that. She just reminded me of something that seems too good to be true. Mallory grins playfully. Maybe it is. But you also miss all the shots you don't take. Returning to her room, Mallory finds Amanda tapping away on her New England Globe laptop. This must be the walk of shame I've read so much about. Oh, don't even start with me. You're in the doghouse, missy. No need to thank me for the assist. That's what friends are for. I can't believe you. What were you thinking? I was thinking that you need to get laid. I did, but not like that. It was not only what you wanted, it was what you needed. So, how does it feel? Tell me everything. Resigning herself to interrogation, Mallory sits on the bed next to her friend. It was amazing. It's hard to describe, really. But describe it you will, for science. Pretty sure science already knows everything it needs to on the subject, and is that my laptop? Do not try to change the subject. Details, now. It was so intense. Sometimes it was pure animal lust, but mostly it felt like something more. You should know you were literally right there the first time. Which was super hot. I had an orgasm in his room and another three in here. How many for you? More than 7, less than 10. I stopped listening at 6. Dr. Allard said it was rude to listen to people masturbating. You were listening? To us? To her? Oh my god, Peanut! Listening and masturbating. I become sexually aroused listening to others experience orgasm. You don't say. Better write Johns Hopkins. They'll want to send a research team to document this. There'll be time for that later. I still have questions for you. For example, Grim should have experienced the refractory period after each orgasm. What's with this weird fascination with orgasms, Peanut? And also, yes. I did not observe one. You two were just straight fucking for 13,620 seconds. That is noteworthy. Holy shit, she's like Rain Woman here. Wow. Measuring it in seconds makes it sound impressive. And he did have one. It's just very short. This bear is further study. I don't think it was that unusual. Maybe it's a superpower, or he's got good genes. I will refrain from making the obvious joke. It goes without saying that he likely owes half of his remarkable abilities to you. To me? How? Men are what their mothers made them. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Oh, you bitch. And I'd gone all morning without thinking about that. Giggle. So, I love the way his cock felt in my hand when I put it inside you. Next time, I will manage on my own, thank you. So, why are you using my laptop? I was connecting data points, Al, to see that you have a copy of Sarah's files on the flash drive. Of course, I was the one who found them to begin with. Does Grimm know you have a retained copy? Does Grimm know you have retained a copy of them? I've been working on solving the Sarah puzzle. I wanted to surprise him. I have committed the relevant facts to memory, and may be able to help if you're more specific. Sarah knew the test results on Pregnia were manipulated, but she never figured out how. Because she did not have Devon's files, which fortunately you had the foresight to scan. Oh my god, you snoop! A quality my treatment happily left unchanged. Those files were necessary to see the correlation. I'm confused. What correlation? Devon was in charge of the Pregnia test regimen. He knew the drug was ineffective. So? Remember his notation about being so short on OVA that he relied on OVA, not OVA. We're not talking about an original video animation here. Let's redo that. Remember his notation about being so short on OVA that he relied on a donor from the team? Vaguely. It indicates that he produced 3 pregnancies from previously infertile women with Pregnia. The follow-up report suggests that 2 of them miscarried. Wait, are you saying he just replaced the trial patient's egg with a donor's? Yes, and given his obsession with Dr. Campbell and her passion for the project, she is the likely donor. Well, God, this is a breakthrough, yet you do not seem pleased. Mallory just stares at Amanda in shock. I think I know who their third child is. As you enter the workout room, you run into a flushed and sweaty Bianca making for the door. Hey, you pool boy. Let's try that one again. Hey, you pool boy. This little gym's been getting a workout since y'all moved in. It's been nice to use equipment that isn't rocking with the boat. This your usual time for working out, I mean? Well, I might move it up half an hour if it means having you as a workout partner. Good to know. See you tomorrow, then. Bianca saunters off with a saucy, exaggerated swing in her hips. Hey, Bianca. That's my name. Maybe we can work in that massage tomorrow. I'll have to think about that, sweetie, for the next hour or so, with my bedroom door locked. But it ain't too damn hard to Jimmy if you're feeling froggy. Jesus Christ. Inspecting the gym, your heart sinks when you lock eyes with Chef Tanaka exercising on the mat. So, the fuckboy does work out. I just couldn't noodle how you could be so fit and lazy. How exactly do you think I've been spending my time here? Sipping mojitos on the beach? Doing fuckboy things, stalking girls with low self-esteem, waxing your chest hair. Tell me again while you're still here. Doesn't the yacht situation release you from your contract? I'll leave when George tells me to. Now you're gonna work out or keep fucking with my zen? Relieved to end the conversation, you find an empty mat and begin stretching. I've met friendlier Taliban. What's crawled up her ass? As your warm-up progresses, you notice Tanaka taking deep breaths with her eyes closed. She'd be a lot more tolerable if she just meditated all the time. As your stiff muscles begin to limber up, you begin a second set of stretches. As you finish your warm-up, you can still feel a black, lingering ball of tension in your gut. A little time on the punching bag will work a little aggression out. You start small with tentative jabs, and then begin working on combination punches and kicks. Given an open conduit, the anger you've been repressing for weeks surges forth. Unnoticed nearby, Tanaka opens an inquisitive eye. Mom and Dad didn't just die. They were fucking killed. Mutated anger becomes naked rage and spreads like a morphine drip throughout your body. And now we're just fucking off in this goddamn tourist trap waiting for word from the cops. As your frustration and fury rise, your knuckles begin to bruise and then bleed unnoticed. And now that skeezy piece of shit Christian Mendez shows up. Your bitter punches intensify as blood begins to mark the canvas. Ugh. On top of it, George and Lisa keep trying to stuff me into a suit that'll never fit me. stop! He throw another punch, but missed the bag entirely out of distraction. Krav Maga, a fuckboy technique if there ever was one. All offense, no artistry. You barely suppress the urge to throw the next punch at her and force yourself to be civil. The best defense is a good offense. Defense wins games. In football, maybe. Oh boy, how many fights, I mean real fights, have you been in? 2 or 3, why? Standing fights only happen on TV. In the real world, you always almost, you, okay. Standing fights only happen on TV. In the real world, you almost always end up on the ground. So, what's your point? Krav Maga is great for a quick skirmish, but against a trained adversary, you'll be in trouble quick. Then I'll just have to strike first and strike hard, won't I? Tanaka smirks. Go on then, hit me, first and hard. What? I don't want to hit you. Okay, that's a lie. I do want to hit you, but I don't need the drama. The blow comes out of nowhere and your head rings like a bell. I wasn't asking. I said hit me, fuckboy. I could humor her for a minute, but I hate to cause drama by going overboard. Easing into a fighting stance, you probe her defenses with a jab that she easily avoids. Let me see what happens. What the fuck? David taught me to disable my opponent quickly, so that's what I'll do. Easing into an offensive stance, you prepare to throw explosive punches that'd be hard to avoid. Dancing aside at the last moment, you see a hint of surprise appreciation on Tanaka's face. She's got reflexes, I'll give her that. Again! You unleash another haymaker, which she deflects almost casually. The element of surprise is gone. Now you're gonna have to work for it. Less talk, more fight. Tanaka sneers and transitions elegantly into Wing Chun, her invitation clear. You attempt to cross, but she deftly steps inside your swing and sweeps your leg. Oof! The mat absorbs most of the impact, but Tanaka wastes no time pressing her advantage. In one swift motion, you're back on your feet, maintaining a sizable gap between you. Clearly frustrated, she maintains her composure, and her superior footwork soon closes the distance. I can't match her speed, and now I'm on the defensive. You see her hip rotate slightly, and you brace for a kick that never comes. My eyes are up here, fuckboy! You glance up in time to see her punch connect with the meat of your shoulder. Fuck! If you want me to lead this dance, I'll lead! I've gone light on the legwork. Let's shake things up a bit. Feigning a lunge, you instead rock back and bring your heel across your body. Clearly prepared, Tanaka contemptuously deflects the kick. Wrong! Your technique has one advantage and you pissed it away. She kicks her legs out and brings you to the mat again with a lightning quick scissor takedown. Let's try this again. She's toying with me. I need to overwhelm her. Returning into a fighting stance, you nearly succeed in connecting with an uppercut punch. Stepping inside your swing, you see a flash of approval on her face. Better, however. You silence her with a feint, forcing her to hop a step backwards. Her expression is neutral, but she seems less confident. Dipping your shoulder, you telegraph a jab. Fish on, she's watching my arm. Instead of the expected punch, you follow up with a roundhouse that connects solidly. Ugh! The blow staggers her slightly, but she shrugs it off and smiles grimly. Now you're leveraging your strengths. Well played. The words are barely out of her mouth before you stepped inside her reach. She jabs reflexively to create separation, but you duck under her swing and throw her to the mat. She looks up at you wide-eyed and flushed, her expression inscrutable. Excellent! Now make me yield! Her gaze is electric with anticipation, and you realize you've awoken something unexpected. As you move into grapple, she brings you to the mat again with a lightning-quick scissor takedown. Fuck, she's fast! No way I could have countered that, and I was expecting it! Before you can finish the thought, she rolls you up like a dirty napkin and pins you to the mat. You know I could shoplift your skinny ass, right? I'll just stand up and wear you like an angry hat. You don't have what it takes to get me off. Hey, phrasing. Wait, how are you? Weight matters, but leverage matters more, followed by strength and endurance. You attempt to buck her off, but succeed only in launching both of you several inches into the air. Fucking hell, you're like a spider monkey. My brother used to call me Komizaru. You try to catch her off guard with another hip thrust, but utterly fail to dislodge her. Tanaka remains attached to you like a limpet mine. I hope Bianca doesn't have cameras in here. Tanaka's face suggests she's enjoying your discomfort more than is strictly professional. Is that all you got, fuckboy? Several minutes later. Oof! Alright, you win. Jesus Christ, it's like you're made out of rebar and chicken wire. Might be a little passive-aggressive sexual tension going on here. Tanaka immediately gets up and bows respectfully to you. I just applied my strengths against your weaknesses more effectively. You fought adequately. That sounded suspiciously gracious. Find me here each morning. I'll show you how to outlast even the most stubborn opponent. Your mastery of your strengths caused me to underestimate you. I'm humbled. I could use a more practical workout than stretches, weights, and the heavy bag. At the same time, she really seems to enjoy hurting me. My brain says I should jump at the chance, but my body tells me it's a trap. For the first time since you've met her, Tanaka chuckles softly but sincerely. Oh, I will make you beg for mercy. Now let's try that again. Oh, I will make you beg for mercy. But the rewards will long outlive the pain. Also, I think it's time to retire, fuckboy, Grim Sun. Several minutes later. This trip has been brutal. Am I a shitty son for just wanting it to end? Stop moping, Grim. A shower will help. Shit, it's occupied. Sorry, almost done. I'll be out in a minute. Don't rush on my account, sis. I'll just use the other bathroom. The door immediately pops open and a familiar hand grips your shirt before yanking you inside. Oh, let's save that for the next episode, huh? Sounds like it might be worth saving for later. Alright guys, so this is the Grim Lord and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more Chasing Sunsets. Stay tuned.